On the virtual Bible study tonight, we want to talk about growing spiritually and maintaining spiritual health.
Yeah, these are tough times, Jacob. And so we've been expressing the fact we're concerned that especially some who maybe were already weak in the faith may be very seriously harmed in the process of what we're going through right now. So it's a worthy thing to talk about. How can we personally and even in regards to helping others, how can we cultivate spiritual growth in these times of crisis?
Important discussion, and we're going to get started on it right now.
It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And we're back on the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're here, and we look forward to hearing from you. This is the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, April 30th, 2020. Glad that you're listening. Look forward to your comments at 877-381-4567. Email questions at collegeview.com and join in the chat room to chat with other listeners. My father, Greg Gwynn, is here with me tonight, Dad.
Jacob, welcome. It's great to be back in the friendly confines of the Virtual Bible Study studio room.
It is.
I didn't realize, I was just, as we were updating everything, getting ready to roll tonight, and I was looking at our YouTube page, and I didn't realize we had done this remotely for 3 weeks while we were under a strict lockdown in Tennessee. Time flies when you're having fun, I guess they say.
Yeah.
But our governor, really beginning today, has relaxed the lockdown restrictions, still urging people to maintain social distancing, and I think I'm 6 feet away from you.
Yep.
And so that gives us the privilege to be back together in the Virtual Bible Study room, and we got Kyle over there.
Run
the board.
We're a little more connected to Kyle tonight. We were a little too social
Kyle,
distance
when you're
from
talking,
Kyle.
That's right. I can give it the 10-second delay. If you just give me a 10-second delay on every time you ask me a question.
Yeah, your lips are moving when you talk now. It's amazing. I'm glad that you got to be with you tonight, Kyle.
It's always good to be.
And, we talked about this. You mentioned these are difficult times, and challenging times for us spiritually, I'm afraid, and we can't become negligent in maintaining spiritual health.
That's exactly right. When this is all said and done, and ultimately we'll all be said and done, and we'll be back to some sense of normalcy, what will really matter is whether we survived it spiritually. It won't be Our spiritual survival is far more critical than our physical survival. If we were to die because of this disease, that would pale in comparison to the potential of losing our souls because of this crisis. And so, what do we do? What are some of the things that will help us personally? And then also, what are some of the things that we can urge others to have not just maintenance, not just spiritual maintenance, but spiritual growth during the time of a crisis?
Yeah, because, we are not, I don't know that any church is meeting as normal, as often as they had before. And certainly that there's
I know some congregations that are still meeting in their building because they're small groups and maybe in rural areas, and there's not a strict lockdown being enforced in those areas. But even those places are, it's not like it was,
yeah.
Even in places like, and that's the vast majority of churches have had to dramatically alter their work and worship. We'll talk more about it at the end of the program as we encourage people about what we're doing here at College View, but we're having one assembly a week versus what we would typically have Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night,
and
Bible classes on Sunday morning and worship.
So we're down to 1 hour versus four.
Yeah, and it's out in the parking lot because That's been what's required of us, but that's been allowed in our state, thankfully, and we've really been grateful to be able to do that. We're going to continue to do that for the at least the near future, to maintain distancing and to keep people feeling comfortable that they're not being exposed to the virus. But that is not, you know, the ideal situation. Even that is not ideal, and a lot of churches haven't been able to do that sort of thing.
So we need to be concerned about our spiritual health in these important times. Guest 826 in the chat room says, I refreshed three times because I was anticipating a Zoom virtual Bible study, not in the studio. My bad. You're glad your restrictions are lifting. Ours are not yet. So, yeah, no. If you see us in the studio tonight, your eyes aren't playing tricks on you. You don't need to refresh. We're here, and it's a lot better. I'm going to have to tell you.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to make this work.
And the audio quality, I hope, is a lot better than what we had the last three weeks. I know it will be when Kyle talks, because Kyle lives out in the way out in the boonies, and his internet connection is real flaky.
Kyle, are you still there? Kyle, can you hear us? Wait, no, Kyle.
I'm here.
Okay.
So earlier today, we sent out some questions to our update list. We always remind you, get on our list. If you're not, send us an email to questions@collegeview.com. Just say, add me to the list. And when you're on our list, you'll get our Thursday midday updates describing our discussion for that night and giving you some questions to be considering. Here's the questions we sent out earlier today. Comment on these necessary ingredients for personal spiritual growth. And we mentioned, we put on there, you got a desire to grow, you need to have proper spiritual nourishment, you need to exercise and practice your faith, you need time. It just takes time to grow spiritually. So what? Let's talk about, in my life, if I'm going to grow, how do I need to be thinking in regards to these specific areas?
Right. I get it. Okay.
Okay. Number two, what can local churches do to help individuals in the above-mentioned areas? And how do the limitations on meetings and assemblies impact these things? And then finally, number three, as various states and localities are beginning to reopen, how should churches proceed to get back to normal?
Okay. All right, good. We'll look forward to hearing your thoughts. You can sign in with other and comment with other listeners in the chat room tonight. Lots of folks have signed in, lots more that can. If you get signed in there, you don't even have to use your real name. Let it assign you a name there so you can chat with other listeners on the program tonight. You know, you talked about necessary ingredients for spiritual growth. You know, it's time to plant your garden. You know, and a lot of people are probably thinking about that this time of year, and especially with things going on now. Maybe you want to have a little garden out back. Well, you don't just go buy seed and voila, you got a garden. You got to cultivate that. You got to give it attention, and it doesn't stop once you put the seed in the ground. You've got to work through that, and that's what we're talking about here with spiritual growth. Is it's going to be something that takes.
You suggested this topic, Jacob, and you used that word cultivate, and I think that's a really good parallel between a physical garden growing and spiritually growing. It takes work and cultivation. I know when I was a kid, my mom put out. I know her garden was at least an acre and sometimes probably bigger because we had our garden out at my uncle's place. He had a farm, and he let her have as much garden space as she wanted, and she wanted a lot. My brother and I were the enforced laborers there in the garden, and it was work. It was lots of work, so much so that I don't enjoy gardening to this day, and I know you do, but I don't because I have unfond memories of those childhood times. But gardening is a lot of work. If you want it to grow, you've got to cultivate it.
Yeah, exactly. And we were thinking about planting some fruit trees a while back, and a friend of ours who had some experience with that, he had some very wise advice. He says, don't think that you're going to plant fruit trees and then go pick fruit off of it. You're going to have to work at it. And the same is true with us spiritually. Don't think you're going to bear fruit just because you might have a Bible on your coffee table, or you might go sit in a pew on Sunday morning, or you might listen to a Bible podcast. Don't expect to have fruit unless you're going to work at it. And so we're going to look at that tonight.
Okay. Let's start out, Jacob, by just emphasizing that the Scriptures tell us that we need to grow and mature spiritually, that we are not expected to just stay where we are, to maintain or to hold the status quo. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning verse 14. Ephesians 4, verse 14. Paul says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, Christ Jesus. So there's that expectation. We shouldn't stay as children. Obviously, everybody, when they first become Christians, they're even referred to in 1 Peter chapter 2 as babes in Christ, newborn babes. We're born again, therefore we're like newborn babies. But we are expected to grow and mature spiritually, and that needs to be a conscious mindset that we have, that I want to be a better Christian as time proceeds than I was in the past. And we ought to actually be able to look back at where was I 5 years ago? What was my spiritual status 5 years ago? Am I improved at this point over what I was then? And if you personally can't see any improvement, I seriously doubt that anybody else would be able to detect that in you. And certainly God knows whether you are growing or not. There's an expectation that you would grow.
There's a command, in fact, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, where we read, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." There's a command. You know, and I wouldn't look at other commands, to train up my children or to love my wife or to obey the laws of the land. I wouldn't look at them flippantly and just sort of ignore them or pass over. Am I doing that with this direct command to grow? Am I taking that seriously? I need to be doing that.
Yeah. Paul commended the church at Thessalonica, which I think was probably a good congregation. And he said in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, "We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly." And so here's a congregation that Paul knew. He knew their situation, and he was commending them. Their faith was growing exceedingly, which is a great thing. And if that could be said about the congregations where all of us, you all who are listening tonight, and Jacob and I and Kyle here at College U, if we could have it said about our local congregations where we're members, that our faith is growing exceedingly, man, that'd be high commendation.
All right, 877-381-4567, questions at collegeview.com. We need to desire that growth. We need to understand it is an imperative.
The first thing that we had on our list, we talked about some necessary ingredients for personal growth, and we asked for comments about the desire to grow. There's a lot of parallel here between physical and spiritual, but we want to see a baby grow. In other words, when there's a newborn baby in house, newborn babies are so precious, and we love to hold and cuddle them. And every once in a while, you'll hear a parent or a grandparent will say, "Oh man, I just love a baby to stay a baby. I could hold it and rock it." No, you wouldn't want that, because if the baby stayed a baby, you'd be rushing to the doctor and saying, "What's wrong with my baby? He's not growing."
Yeah.
And so we know that physically a child must grow, and actually, you know, children even want to grow. They desire to be able to reach new capabilities. For instance, you know, you see a toddler and he wants to walk. You see a teenager and he wants to drive a car. There's a desire to mature and develop in the physical world, and we need to have that same kind of desire spiritually.
Kent in Georgia sent in his comments tonight. He said, "There must be a desire for that of personal spiritual growth, a desire." And he references 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, where we read, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious."
Notice that that verse even contains the word desire.
Desire, that sincere milk of the word, because it'll make us grow. And the verse 3 there is sort of the idea of you had a taste of it. You know what value and benefit there is. You ought to want more and more of it. And so we need to have that desire. Like a newborn baby wants that milk and happy until they get that milk. And we need to be the same way spiritually.
Have that strong desire. We cannot be content to just stay at an infantile spiritual level. And I'm concerned that that happens too often, you know. And sadly, sometimes you see folks who are just really excited to initially learn the truth, but then it's like they flame out pretty quickly thereafter. That's just the starting point. We should have a desire to grow and mature, to be stronger, to be more knowledgeable, to have greater capabilities of service in the Lord's kingdom. That needs to be a really strong craving, a desire on our part.
All right, we're going to get a break. When we get back, well, desiring, it's one thing, but there needs to be some other stuff to go along with it.
Yeah.
So one of those is spiritual nourishment. So we're going to talk about that on the other side of the break. We'll take your comments during the break. Don't go anywhere. The Virtual Bible Study will be back right after this.
Don't go anywhere. You might miss something. The Virtual Bible Study continues right after this.
Me again, Mike Smith at the College of the Church of Christ. Let me ask you some more questions. Do you remember when the pulpit was used for the purpose of convicting sinners and teaching them how to be saved? Are you tired of preachers who seem more inclined to entertain their audience than to teach them the truth? Does it seem that sermons you're hearing each week could as easily be given in a PTA meeting or a social club? Do you remember when sin was called sin? At the end of the sermon, you knew, by book, chapter, and verse, what the preacher was talking about and why? Well, we're still preaching the old Jerusalem gospel that you read about in your Bible. We invite you to investigate for yourself. Please come and see this Sunday at the College of the Church of Christ at 9:30 a.m. on Hampshire Pike.
Here's some quotes worth pondering. When you face a problem, a conflict, or a crisis, do what you can. Do the best you know how, and then move on with the knowledge that this is all that anyone can do. The storm also beats on the house that is built on the rock. At the timberline, where the storms strike with the most fury, the sturdiest trees are found. Sometimes you can know which way you're headed by looking at the crowd you're traveling with. Man, wish I'd said that.
See, I told you we'd be back. The Virtual Bible Study continues.
And we're back on the program tonight as we talk about cultivating spiritual growth, especially in these times of crisis when things aren't like they normally are. What are we doing to make sure that we are growing? We talk about the desire to grow. I think inherent in that is we need to realize the need to give emphasis to that and give it a priority that we are working on our spiritual growth. And so we're talking about that on the program tonight. But just having a desire is one thing, but there's some more things that go along with it. You know, that seed that I buy at the store for my garden, that corn seed, or that bean seed, it wants to grow. I mean, it is ready to go, but just the desire of the seed to grow doesn't mean I'm going to have a crop. I've got to do something else too.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something, Jacob. That desire needs to be maintained. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You've got to still have that strong desire. Paul did in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Here's Paul. And I think all of us would just judge Paul to be a tower of spiritual strength. He said, "I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. I have not attained. Yep. I am not. I'm not there yet." And so we need to maintain that desire for spiritual growth. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, it says, "Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." You're never there.
Yep.
You've got to maintain that desire to get better spiritually all the time.
Kevin says, "If our garden started, but then all the plants withered, we would wonder what was wrong. Yet many plants in the vineyard are withering without us being overly concerned."
Good point, Kevin.
Yeah, it's got to be a priority. We've got to make sure that there is adequate growth.
I got another email here, Jacob, from Daniel down in Florida. And he references on this desire, we need to have desire for growth. He mentions Matthew 5, verse 6, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. That's a good time.
Good idea there. Good thought.
And then he also mentions 1 Peter 2, verse 2, which we mentioned, desiring the sincere milk of the word.
Thank you, Daniel, for those comments. Glad to hear from you tonight. So if we're going to grow, the next thing you suggested for us tonight in order to make that accomplish.
Well, you got to have the food. You got to be nourished to grow. Again, there's a lot of parallel here between the physical growth and spiritual growth. And we know physically, if a child's to grow, they have to receive nourishment. And it's got to be proper nourishment. You know, you wouldn't, to a newborn baby, or even for that matter, a little bit older baby, you wouldn't just feed them sugary snacks all day long and expect them that they're going to mature and develop physically the way they should. New parents are very, very extremely careful about what the baby eats, and that's the way it should be, and that's the way it's got to be for us. I was watching a video that someone sent me, a link from a church not too far from here, and it was shocking, the kind of stuff that's being put out as gospel preaching and teaching. Right here in Middle Tennessee, there's just some crazy examples of the unsound teaching, which constitutes corrupted spiritual food. We gotta have nourishment, but it's got to be proper nourishment.
I like what Kent said. He said there must be proper spiritual nourishment, James 1, verse 21, which says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." And so if I'm going to grow, it's going to be that word, the pure word of God. And Kent goes on and says, if one receives anything other than the truth of God, one will not grow, but rather be led away into error. And so we've got to demand that. You know, it's not people's think-sos. It's not what some doctor said somewhere, or some scholar, or some professor. It's the sincere milk of the word, the pure, undefiled word of God, Kyle. That's going to make me grow.
It was like your own children. I mean, you wouldn't stay handing them milk. You wouldn't hand them a bottle of, hand them Sun Drop every morning, or a bottle of Coke just to nurse on that. It's just, we do what is most nutritious for us, and what is proven best is the word of God. So we just, we live by God's word. We apply it to our lives, and besides of, going out to fast food every night, you wouldn't eat McDonald's for 3 square meals a day. Well, it's not a square meal by any means. For 3 meals a day at McDonald's, buying Big Macs for the whole family for every meal. So it's just, that's common sense. And I think sense is what we hear from God's words. That's the best thing you can do for your body and your soul.
And Kevin says, many of us are getting much more Bible study in these times, lots of additional studies throughout the week at various times of day in various places around the world. I was even able to hear a couple studies from the Philippines. So Kevin's using his time wisely there. And
what Kevin mentioned there, I think I've seen some indications of that too, even on our websites and access to the media that we're putting out there. People are hungry right now, and that's a good thing. But you got to feed that hunger. And as Kevin says, there's some great opportunities out there. Lots of people are putting content on the Internet, more so than ever before, I think. And, avail yourself of that.
Guest 3295 says, "I enjoy listening to sermon podcasts. It's really easy to do and helpful to keep your mind on spiritual things."
Yeah, and I think a really great time for that is when you're driving down the road. Mm-hmm. And, most newer cars, you can actually connect your phone to your radio and listen over the car audio.
You know how to do that?
I do.
All right. Yeah, but why not do that instead of listen to, filth and the music today, or even the talk radio? That gets you sort of spun up on things that probably aren't all that important.
An article I found says, do this self-test to check whether you're getting spiritual nourishment. How much time did you spend this week watching TV? How much time did you spend on some hobby or outside interest that may not be immoral but is not that critical either. Contrast, how many hours did you spend studying your Bible? How much, and this article was obviously before these lockdown times, but we might modify what the author asked. How much time did you spend looking for valuable content on the internet that you could watch? Which do you nourish best, your physical body or your spirit? They're just the idea of, and I really like that verse that Daniel mentioned, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. That's the way we need to be. We need to have a great craving for spiritual things. We remember in Acts 17, verse 11, that the Bereans were commended because they searched the scriptures daily whether the things they were being taught by Paul were true. And so it wasn't, you know, an hour a week. You know, they dug the scriptures out and studied them every day. They searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so.
You know, in 3 John, verse 2, John wishes something for Gaius that would probably be a death curse for many of us. He said of Gaius, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." You know, if that were to happen to some of us, we'd be laid up in a hospital on life support right now.
Yeah.
Because we're just not concerned. Now, we're concerned about our physical health and making sure we get exercise and nutrition and sleep and all that. But our spiritual health is sort of an afterthought sometimes. And John knew about Gaius that he had that as a priority. And if he could just get his physical health in line with what his spiritual health was, he would have been in a great shape. And that needs to be our position as well.
Real quickly, we're going to talk so much we'll run out of time tonight, Jacob, on some of these other points we want to cover. What about if you're going to physically, you need exercise. If you're going to become better at whatever, you got to practice it physically. Mm-hmm. Same is true spiritually. We got to exercise. We got to make that a priority to exercise our faith.
All right.
For instance, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, it says, "Those who are of full age by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And so, in addition to taking in nourishment, then we've got to use it. We've got to put it to work, and we've got to exercise our faith. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, "Exercise yourself toward godliness." Some of the ways we would exercise ourselves is looking for opportunities to teach someone, engage in religious discussion. Certainly, we exercise ourselves when we apply ourselves in Bible study. In other words, we don't just sit back and let people throw it at us. We actually ourselves determine to search out Bible truth. We exercise our faith when we pray. And so there's things like that we need. So we need to be fed, but then we need to ourselves exercise our faith.
Do it. Put it into practice.
Yeah.
You know, you think about sports, and maybe your kid's on some kind of ball team, and they go to practice. Well, what do they do in practice? They don't just sit around and talk about, well, here's how you throw the ball, and here's how you run from here to there.
And you don't just sit back and watch somebody else throw the ball.
Yeah, right. Oh, look at that guy. See, he threw it well. Look, they got a goal. No, they get out on the field and they say, okay, here's what you do. Do it.
Yeah.
Until it gets to be.
I know when you boys were playing ball and I was coaching baseball, well, the first thing that we did in every practice session is get out and have two, you know, pair up in twos, throw the ball back and forth.
Yeah.
You know, you got to practice.
You got to do it. You got to put it into practice.
Yeah.
Kent in Calhoun, Georgia says, "We must, as individuals, involve ourselves in the study of the scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. So he says, you need to be studying. You need to give diligence to that in order to be growing.
Yeah, and so I think that's a really good analogy. You don't just watch people teaching. You try to teach yourself, and that may not be in a public role. It may be in a one-on-one conversation with someone, but you exercise your faith. If you're going to grow, you got to put it to work.
And the Horwath family in the chat room says, Hebrews 5 and 6 shows us what can happen if we don't grow. Apostasy is a very real danger. We must grow. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 talks about that strong meat that belongs to those who are full age and who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, which we talked about. And then goes on in chapter 6 there of Hebrews to talk about the fact that, again, that idea, as he mentioned there, or she mentioned of the apostasy. Yep, so appreciate that.
Yeah, exactly right. Let's grab a break, and when we come back, we got one more thing we want to talk about, and that is you gotta invest the time, and you got to take the time. This kind of spiritual growth that we're talking about just doesn't happen with a snap of a finger.
And Kevin has taken the excuses off the table tonight in chat room. He says it is so simple to even have your electric Bible read to you, your electronic Bible read to you. Easy study time. You don't even have to read anymore. You can just let it talk.
Hey, here. Kevin, I got to tell you, I do that on my daily Bible readings.
Oh, yeah?
I have the Bible with me, but I let the program on my phone read it, and it keeps me focused. My mind doesn't wander away, and I don't I probably shouldn't tell everybody this. My Bible software allows me to speed up the reading speed.
Oh, yeah?
I read it at double speed, and I'm telling you, you got to stay with the guy. Or he'll leave you behind, and that helps me stay focused.
So you got like this chipmunk that's reading to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then you read along with it as it's talking.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. There you go. Technology. All right. We're gonna get a break, and we'll get your comments on the other side. This week's bullet point is next, and then we come back. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study will continue.
There's more of the virtual Bible study to come after these important messages. Stay tuned.
This is Greg Gwynn with this week's bullet point. Here's a challenge for you. Try to find a single place in the scriptures where the Lord ever encountered a person and encouraged him to stay as he was. You can't do it, can you? The Lord always encouraged people to change, to become better than they previously were. We know, of course, that some were already morally purer than others. For instance, Cornelius was, quote, a devout man who feared God, gave alms liberally, and prayed constantly, Acts 10, verse 2. But then there were folks like the Corinthians who had been immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, thieves, greedy, drunkards, revilers, and robbers, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. But regardless of their existing condition, all who learned the gospel had to change. Why? Paul answered that question for us. In Romans 3, verse 10, he says, there's none righteous, no, not one. There are too many people who call themselves Christians who have never gotten serious about making changes and improvements in their lives. They want to act like they used to act, dress like they used to dress, talk like they used to talk, and so forth. The heart of the problem may be that we have failed to see ourselves as real sinners. After all, it is reasoned, we aren't nearly as bad as many others in our society. We need to stop deceiving ourselves by such useless comparisons. The statistics have never changed, and it still remains true. There's none righteous, no, not one. That being the case, we need to be changing, improving for our Lord. That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
Warning, this is to make you aware of a disorder plaguing American and the metro area, BDD, Bible Deficit Disorder. Many people are not getting enough Bible in their daily lives. Are you? Answer the following questions to see if you might be suffering from BDD. Do you answer spiritual questions by saying, I think, instead of the Bible says? Do you depend on religious authors and pastors to tell you what to believe? When Benny Hinn says, this is your day for a miracle, do you believe him? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you might be suffering from BDD, Bible Deficit Disorder. The College View Church of Christ is dedicated to fighting BDD by teaching the Bible. We focus on Christ by following his word. Don't succumb to BDD, Bible Deficit Disorder. Fight it by joining us for Bible study on Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and Wednesday at 7 p.m. As long as there is breath in your body, it is not too late to fight Bible Deficit Disorder. We'll see you this Sunday at the College View Church of Christ.
God's Word has the answers. Let's get back to studying it. The virtual Bible study rolls along.
And we're back. We want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Find out more about us at our website, thevirtualbiblestudy.com. And don't come at 9:30 on Sunday morning like you were just instructed to do in that spot.
But, sadly, no.
But 7 o'clock on Wednesday is still valid, only you need to do it online.
Yeah. So we're not having a Sunday morning Bible study. We might just go ahead and mention that right now. We're not having our Sunday morning Bible study. We're having a parking lot drive-in service at 10:30.
Yeah.
We've done it for 6 weeks. It doesn't seem possible. We've done 6 weeks, and we're planning the seventh week this Sunday morning at 10:30, Lord willing. If you're in the Middle Tennessee area and you're needing a place to worship, maybe the congregation where you are has not been able to meet or has canceled services, we invite you to come here. And it's really been an edifying thing, Jacob, I think.
And we're fighting Bible deficit disorder in the parking lot. Your lessons are very, very meaty and good. You're not just handing out a lot of fluff. So these are important times, and definitely want to be doing that.
And then at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, we have a sermon on our YouTube channel. That YouTube channel is not the one you're watching tonight. This channel is the Virtual Bible Study. But we have another channel called College View Live Stream, and our sermons are there. And so there's a sermon Sunday night on College View Live Stream, and then we're having a Bible study on Wednesday night conducted by Zoom and also on our YouTube channel, College View Live Stream. And we're studying the Book of Acts in our Wednesday night class. So 7 o'clock Wednesday night, Book of Acts. We're really having a great study about that, I think. And then on Sunday night, for the last 4 weeks, and Lord willing, continuing this week, we've been studying about Bible authority. And those archives are out there, by the way, if you want to catch up on that.
Oh, yeah.
A Sunday night series on Bible authority and a Wednesday night Bible study on the Book of Acts.
Yeah, so those Sunday night lessons on Bible authority are very important. If you haven't looked at those, you might want to check those out. Kyle, you're putting those in a playlist, I would imagine, ultimately.
We get a little more organizational time. We'll get everything. I'll get everything filed away in a nice little playlist there for our acts, and everything. So, our Bible authority playlist.
Get that going. And what's your thoughts on the drive-in worship? Is it worth the drive?
Absolutely. I think it's our crowds remain pretty steady. We're getting.
We had our biggest crowd ever this last Sunday.
And on the days that you would think it was rainy and just miserable, we had great crowds too, so it's
they came because they wanted to see you get soaking wet as you
get out there. Not last Sunday. Well, actually, it'll be 3 weeks ago this Sunday. We had downpouring rain during, especially as the guys were passing out the Lord's Supper. It was just a literal down.
It was all, instead of a drive-in, we almost had a float-in worship service.
We had a lake in the parking lot. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah, so it's good if you are in the area, and maybe we've had some folks driving over an hour to get here because they couldn't find some place to worship. They wanted to be a part of something. So if you can come, do that. We've got more room in our parking lot. It's getting full, and you don't want to slide in here at 10:29 and expect to find a parking spot, but. We have room for you. Come and be a part of that.
Yeah, great.
All right.
Let me back up. I've missed a couple comments here from Daniel in Florida talking about you need proper spiritual nourishment. He said desire to grow will only work when pointed in the right direction. God gives us the direction and nourishment we need. 2 Timothy 3:16, Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. We need every word that God gives us.
Amen.
And then he says concerning exercise and practice, we must do what the Lord has told us to do, Matthew 7, verse 24, and we will be unskilled if we don't practice what we learn, Hebrews 5, 13 and 14. Real good comments, Daniel.
All right, in the chat room tonight, Eric has chimed in. He says, knowledge is foundation, but a necessary ingredient is to pray for wisdom in the application of the knowledge. He references, I believe, James chapter 1, verse 5.
Exactly
we're
right.
We're told Eric. To pray for that wisdom. Thank you for that comment, Eric.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, we got one last thing, and then we want to move on to some additional important considerations tonight. The one more thing that we had was you got a desire to grow, you got to have proper spiritual nourishment, you must exercise and practice your faith, but it takes time. You got to be patient. It takes time. If you want to grow to be a mature Christian, you don't snap your finger and have that happen just overnight. Notice, you were just referencing James chapter 1, where we pray for wisdom, but notice, that's James 1, verse 5. Notice the couple verses just preceding that, James 1, verse 3, know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let patience have her perfect work, so that you will become perfect or complete and entire, wanting nothing. You got to be patient. You're not going to be the world's best Bible student the first day that you decided you were going to devote yourself to Bible study.
Yeah.
Lots of us have known people who literally invested their lifetimes into studying the Word of God. I remember a story. A woman said to an elderly preacher, she said, "I would give my life to be a Bible, to know the Bible like you do." And the preacher said, "That's what it takes."
Yeah.
Is your life. You've got to devote yourself to it.
All right. Okay. So yeah, give it the time. And you know, as we think about this period of quarantine, life is slow right now. And it's probably the slowest that it'll ever be. You know, I mean, this is a once in a lifetime type of thing. Are we using the added time in a way that's profitable? We need to think about that.
I think that's really true. And also, don't be discouraged if it doesn't come quickly. And don't even necessarily be discouraged by mistakes that you have to correct. This article had an interesting list. Moses made excuses when God called him to lead Israel out of bondage. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and was rebuked by Nathan. Peter denied Jesus three times. Paul persecuted Christians before he was converted. Thomas doubted Jesus' resurrection. All the apostles forsook Jesus when he was arrested and crucified. Yet all of these are remembered as some of God's greatest servants. And so they fell back from time to time and had to pick up and keep going. And so that's the kind of determination and patience we need to grow spiritually.
All right. We look forward to your comments tonight. Anything from, we got here for time. Kent says, "We must remember that learning the scriptures involves devoted study. Such takes time and will not be accomplished in just one setting. We need to exercise patience with ourselves and others." Thank you for that, Kent. Anything from Daniel on that one?
Let me get down. I think Daniel's got a comment there. He says, time and patience. Hebrews 12:11, the benefits of chastening come after one is chastened. Luke 6:40, though those who are perfectly trained will be like their teacher. And in my experience, he says that takes a lot of time and patience.
Well, thank you for that, Daniel. Appreciate that. All right.
Let's move quickly to
we need to move.
To the second question, what can local churches do in these areas that we've been discussing? And again, the areas are desire, nourishment, exercise, and patience. What can local churches do to help individuals, maybe in particular, Jacob, individuals who are weak in the faith and who may be especially struggling in this time of crisis? How can we work around some of these limitations on meetings and public assemblies and so forth?
To that question, let's start it off with Kent because he has some good comments here. Provide Bible-centered preaching and teaching that members of local New Testament churches may be made aware of their personal obligations. How do limitations on meetings and assemblies impact these? Realization of the difference between collective and individual responsibilities. A local church does have the responsibility to preach, teach, and defend God's truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. However, as individual Christians, we have the personal responsibility to make application of the scriptures to our lives. James 1:21. No one else can accomplish that on our behalf. And so he says Bible-centered teaching, and that teaching needs to be personal and directed, emphasize that, hey, you need to do something with what you've been told.
Yeah, I really like that. I think kids are on track there, because if I'm just hearing feel-good messages all the time that never put any responsibility or obligation on me, I don't think I'll grow from that. I think that's one of the limitations of constant positive preaching. Positive preaching is great. We all like to do positive preaching. But if we never get the kind of preaching that puts the onus on us to act, then we won't grow.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right.
Daniel says, by the power of the gospel, the church can help to produce desire and nourish growth, 1 Timothy 3:15. We are able to encourage each other and work together in doing what God has commanded. And by investing time and patience in others can mean the difference between growth and unfaithfulness. He says in these times of limitations on our meetings and assemblies, it's easy to grow lax, to become distracted and discouraged and not be seeking the kingdom first, as Matthew 6:33 says that we should.
All right.
So I think that's really a good observation. But I guess just before we go to our last break here, Jake, I just want to really stress to us all in local congregations everywhere, and various of you all who are listening who will be members of those various congregations, I think it really behooves us to be especially sensitive to folks who are on the fringes, to members who were already weak and struggling before this began. I'm seriously concerned that some were going to slip between the cracks. You know, they weren't doing well, but now, you know, they're going to get in the habit of not coming on Sunday night, not being here on Wednesday night, maybe spending 1 hour on Sunday morning, and that's a recipe for spiritual disaster if we let it happen. So we need to be really conscious of those folks, and you know who they are in the congregation that you're a member of. You know who are the folks that are just you know, barely hanging on by the skin of their teeth, and that was already that way before. Man, snatch them out of the fire.
All right. Dwight says, time is important, but as the Hebrew writer said, by this time you should be teachers, but you have need of milk. So Dwight says, you know, time is important, but many of us have been given the time. We need to be capitalizing on that.
Yeah, no, you can't use that as an excuse forever. Say, well, I'm still a babe. I haven't had time to grow. Well, that excuse doesn't work for very long.
All right, good to hear from Dwight tonight. Dwight's been a part of some of our studies online here on Wednesday nights, even though he's from far away, the marvels of technology. Good to have Dwight with us again tonight. We're going to go to a break and get our final break for the night. Go to the top of the hour. When we get back, we're going to change gears just a little bit.
Yeah, when we get back, let's talk about, as various states and localities are beginning to reopen, how should churches proceed to get back to normal?
And we'll get that on the other side. Stay tuned. We're back right after this.
Got a question about something you've heard on the virtual Bible study? Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Lane Crawford, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you've never visited with the College View Church of Christ, you may be wondering what our worship services are like. One thing we have at every worship service is music. We believe God has commanded that music be a part of our worship. But something you may notice about our worship is that the music we have in our worship is different than the music used by many in the religious world today. The music we worship God with is strictly vocal. We don't believe God has commanded us to worship Him with instrumental music. Therefore, since we want God to approve of the worship we offer Him, we only worship in the way that He has specified. In Colossians 3:16, God instructs, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Instructions like this, in which only vocal music is commanded, are the only instructions we can find in the New Testament. Since God didn't tell us that He wanted us to worship Him with instrumental music, how can we be sure that He wants that kind of worship? We do know that if we worship God like He prescribed, with vocal music, that He'll be happy with that kind of worship. We hope you'll make plans to visit with the College View Church of Christ to learn more about what our worship is like. We'd love to have you join us in worship of our Creator this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
We're tracking the trends on the virtual Bible study. At Life Church, based in Edmond, Oklahoma, visitors can chat with friends, volunteer on a prayer team, and watch live sermons. And while Life Church has 27 physical locations in 8 different states, a new member doesn't have to travel to any of them to do all those things, because Life Church offers an entire functioning church online that serves about 70,000 people every week. That information is via blog.keptira.com. The Word of God says in Acts 20, verse 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them."
How about logging off of Facebook and getting into God's book? The virtual Bible study continues.
And we're back on the program. We've been talking about cultivating spiritual growth. And just to wrap that up, it is important at all times that we're cultivating spiritual growth, but especially at times like this. Our faith will be challenged and tested, and we need to make sure that it is strong. And so we've got to give attention to that and be devoted to that. And so we need to be reminded of that at this time. Now, as we go back to your final question.
The final question was, this situation continues to evolve, and now we've reached a point where, for instance, here in Tennessee, some of our lockdown restrictions are being eased up, thankfully. And so there'll be some decisions to be made concerning how do we get back to a more normal type of assembly where we meet in our church buildings where we have Bible classes, divide up for the kids to go to the classes that are appropriate to their ages. What do we do? How do we reopen? You know, Jacob, when this all started, one of the things that was strongly a consideration is we want to present a right appearance to our community. We want them to know that we're committed to serving God, but we're also committed to love our neighbor and protect him. And we thought that the parking lot provided us opportunity to do both that, to show that we concerned, we're trying to honor the government instructions, protect people from the spread of the coronavirus, but also to show we're committed to worship even if we have to go to an extreme to do it. So one of our considerations here at College View was that we wanted to put a good foot forward in the community. I think that still continues to be a consideration as we unwind this thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that really doesn't depend on what the governor says or what the president says. It depends on what's the public opinion of what we do. Now, again, we got to worship. We've got to assemble. But we can do it in a way that is acceptable to those around us.
Yeah. Another thing to factor in is the comfort level of our own members and the people who might potentially visit with us in our assemblies. I'm pretty sure, in fact, I got a little hint of this by some text messages that some of us here at College View exchanged earlier today. I got the idea that people are not feeling real comfortable about getting back into the church building in a closed environment, at least not yet. That's got to be factored in. How do our own members and people who might, you know, we've had visitors to our parking lot service every Sunday from our community. Would they come inside, you know, right now? So I think we got to think about that.
You know, we have made the argument for years that a church building is an expedient. You could meet by a river. You could meet in a rented building. You
under
could meet
a shade tree.
In a home. But a church building is an expedient where they get a good way to get the job done. It's not an expedient right now. It is detrimental to be in a church building for many. And that has to be part of the equation.
I wonder how long that will last, but that is the reality right now, I think.
Yeah.
And you got to deal with the reality.
All right. So there are better ways to meet than in a building right now. Kevin says we are going forward slowly. Just a few at the building on Sundays currently. We expect to see only about 50% when the doors are first reopened. He goes on. He says the church needs to provide the opportunity to assemble. That is true. He said the elders here made a posting about slowly returning to worship. It honestly shocked a few who are becoming used to the current situation.
Man, and that's something I'm worried about, what Kevin just mentioned there, is that people are going to get used to it. You know, it's kind of nice, and we've mentioned this in previous weeks as we've been discussing. It's kind of nice for folks that, you know, you can, on Sunday night, Wednesday night, you can stay home in your comfy pants, sit on the couch, maybe even have a snack while you're studying the book of Acts or listening to a sermon about Bible authority. And I'm concerned that some people are going to say, I like that. I like that's easy. Let's do it that way. And I don't think it gets the job done as well, not nearly as well.
Yeah, and so that maybe that is some of the after effect here that we need to be aware of. Kent says, recognize that the New Testament is our only means and standard of authority. The Word of God places the obligation to obey civil law, Romans 13, verse 1. However, we are only authorized to obey civil law insofar as it does not conflict with the Word of God. We also need to recognize and respect the autonomy and independence of local churches. When it comes to matters of judgment, we as individuals or local churches do not have the right to bind matters of judgment on others. You know, that's something that you need to be aware of. As we look to getting services back to normal, there's going to be a lot of judgment in that.
Yeah.
Is it this week or is it next week? Is it this month or is it next month?
Yeah.
And when we go in, how do we do it? We've got to be ready to yield in those matters of judgment, Kyle, because there can be just as many problems with changing the assemblies as there are with changing them back to the normal, and we've got to be aware of that.
It's a tenuous time ahead. I think it's just we have to make sure that we're putting the thoughts and needs of our members first and foremost, but our community outlook as well. So this, we need to make sure we pace ourselves. I'm myself personally. I think we need to make sure that we're are pacing our way into getting back in the building. I want to be back in the building, of course, but we just make sure we're doing.
The thing is, here we have the ability to meet in the parking lot. If it was get in the building or not meet, then we'd say let's go in the building. But we have a way to get it done in an expedient fashion, and I think there's some benefit there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't really have a good answer to how we get it back to normal. I think people are probably a little more scared than they need to be, although I don't want to get off into the politics of it, but I think the authorities have done a pretty good job of conditioning us to really be afraid, and I'm not sure that the fear is all that much deserved. In the whole state of Tennessee, there have been less than 200 people who have died. More than that have died of other health complications. Way more than that have died of other health complications in the same amount of time. And so I'm not sure that the fear is necessarily justified, but it's real. And that's the deal. I mean, there's a concern there on the part of people, and we got to acknowledge that.
All right. Mohan says, it may be helpful for churches to do sermons on why normal times, the online worship should not be a permanent thing, as many may have gotten used to worshiping that way. Also, maybe for a few weeks, hugs and handshakes have to be avoided, and if possible, or at least be as least congested as possible.
Yeah, I think those are the kind of judgments that what Mohan just suggested there are the kind of judgments that we're going to have to be making. How people come in, where they sit, how they go out, do they hug, do they handshake, you know, do they do the holy kiss? I seriously doubt there'll be many holy kisses taking place.
Yeah, okay.
But we're just all but out of time. Mohan asked one more thing that I think is a really interesting question. He says, please see if you can briefly comment on the lawsuits against the governors as a result of extending the lockdowns. For example, a church in Illinois is suing the governor in federal court for extending the prohibition of large gatherings because of the virus cases. What about a case where a church is suing the government for their right to assemble? There's a lot of politics involved in that question. I personally think that our constitutional rights have been treaded upon seriously in the course of all this. Our purpose here is not necessarily to discuss constitutional rights. However, I would say that I don't think it's wrong to exercise your constitutional rights as a citizen. The Apostle Paul did that when he appealed his case to Caesar. That is in Acts chapter 25. Verse 11, he said he appealed his case to Caesar. We have more episodes in Paul's preaching work where he exercised his right as a Roman citizen. The one that comes to mind real quickly is in Acts chapter 16, when he had been cast into a prison, beaten and cast into prison in Philippi. And he let it be known that he was a Roman citizen, and you can't do that to a Roman citizen. And so he called upon his privilege as a Roman citizen. I think we're within I don't think there's anything wrong with that. If the government is putting something upon us that the law says they can't do, there's nothing wrong with appealing to the law for your rights as citizens.
All right, absolutely. You do want to be careful about that, I think, but certainly you have the right to do that.
Yeah.
All right. Did you miss any comments in the chat room that you're monitoring over there?
No, I did not.
Okay. All right. Good discussion tonight. Kyle, glad to be back in the same room with you, even though you are 6 feet away or more. But you sound better tonight.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I'm glad we're back, and hopefully we can hopefully one day we'll have something more else to talk about besides the coronavirus.
Well, we didn't touch on it very much tonight.
No, we didn't spend our whole time
or even
talking
an associated
that.
Lesson.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. Maybe we ought to talk.
No. These are obviously very good lessons,
and it's what's on people's minds.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
And
right.
We need to be growing and make it a priority. Kyle, thanks for helping us get on air tonight. All right, and it sounds better tonight when you're behind the controls. Nobody can deny that.
That's better. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. And I think we're going to say that about our assemblies. They're better when we're in person together in a normal setting. But
when the wind's not blowing your notes around while you're talking.
Yeah. I saw a video of a preacher in Oklahoma, and the wind, he was preaching outside, and the wind came and actually blew the podium away from him.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. The only wind in the building is going to be you talking.
That's right. When we get back to normal.
That's right. All right. Good discussion, Dad. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jacob.
And thank you for being here. Hope you make plans to be back here this time next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word of the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.